Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Katie Gillen with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, tensions flared in the Dáil this afternoon between Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty and Taoiseach Simon Harris over the government's insistence that there won't be one-off cost of living payments in this year's budget. The body of a man has been recovered from the water at Ballyness, Fallcarra. Police in Derry are currently in attendance at a security alert, and a man in his 20s who was arrested in Letterkenny on Tuesday evening has been charged and was due to appear in court today. These stories in full plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher will have all the latest sports news at around 15:15, and that will be followed by farming news and views with Chris Ashmore. But first, tensions flared in the Dáil this afternoon between Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty and Taoiseach Simon Harris over the government's insistence that there won't be one-off cost of living payments in this year's budget. Deputy Doherty told the Dáil that a report out today shows almost 300,000 households across the country are in arrears with their electricity bills. The Taoiseach questioned Deputy Doherty's understanding of the current economic situation, saying what is happening globally means the budget should be prudent. Deputy Doherty was quick to respond.
There needs to be a cost of living package. And yes, we understand there's instability. But there also was instability in the last number of years as well. We have a surplus at this point in time. And you're more happy to provide €186,000 to landlords in a tax credit than actually support people to heat their homes and keep the lights on. I say you have got all the wrong priorities. You should come forward and bring forward a cost of living package. Because what is happening under your watch is nothing but scandalous.
Seconds too, but
Tarnished, please.
If you genuinely believe that the economic challenge facing our country this summer is the equivalent to moments of economic challenge over the last couple of summers, I really worry for your level of economic literacy. If you genuinely think that this situation in relation to tariffs, trade, pharma, global uncertainty is the same as it was last summer, come on, you're better than that. You're better than that. You did. The record, though, you did. Now, let me, you spend a lot of your political career standing up here saying, you don't get it over here. You don't understand. You're out of touch. You know what I know? I know who owns SuperValu. And it's not an American multinational. I know who owns SuperValu. They sponsor the GAA. They sponsor the Tidy Towns. They're in towns and villages across the country. They're a proud Irish company. And you thought they were owned by an American multinational. And yet, you want Pascal Donoghue's job? You want Pascal Donoghue's job and you don't even know who owns SuperValu or can't even use Google? Give me a break.
And their profits are up 39%.
Give me a break here. Give me a break. Give us a break.
The body of a man has been recovered from the water at Ballyness, Fallcarra. At approximately 3:10 yesterday afternoon, the Irish Coast Guard was alerted to an incident at the pier. Mulroy Coast Guard was tasked by Marine Rescue Subcentre Mallin to assist in a Garda-led recovery operation of an individual unresponsive in the water. The man was pronounced deceased at the scene. Gardaí have confirmed a file will now be prepared for the coroner. Police in Derry are currently in attendance at a security alert. A suspicious object was discovered in the Gulf Road area of Killaloe at around 11:20 this morning. The road is closed at its junction with the A6, while a small number of homes have been evacuated. A man in his 20s who was arrested in Letterkenny on Tuesday evening has been charged and was in court today. Gardaí have not commented on the circumstances of the arrest. The group Justice Reborn claims the arrest follows an operation it carried out, which led to a man travelling to Donegal in the expectation of meeting a 13-year-old girl. A Donegal senator has called for the M1 toll fee to be scrapped for Donegal supporters travelling to the All-Ireland final next Sunday. It's after long tailbacks were reported after the quarter-final against Monaghan and the semi-final against Meath, all of whom were travelling in the same direction. Senator Manus Boyle says it will be a costly day for families travelling down.
Tolls done away for on the Sunday for the Donegal ones coming down, because we have to pay for everything, and it would be great if we could get through down to Dublin without paying tolls, because, I mean, it's a costly day on every family, and there'll be 4 and 5 from every house coming. I don't think there'll be anybody left in Donegal. They'll be down. So it's a proud day for Donegal, and I'm delighted that they're there, and sure, we'll give the Cahirlux team a run for.
A Donegal mother who claimed her disabled son was used in a pre-election stunt last year has welcomed news that 3.6 million euro promised to four Donegal groups under the Children's Disability Service grant will finally be paid out. The announcement was made at the No Barriers Foundation in Letterkenny, which was allocated just over 3 million euro for the implementation and expansion of a groundbreaking programme. The funding for the four Donegal groups was part of a 7.2 million euro national package, but it was never paid out, and earlier this year the HSE was suggesting the groups could reapply for lesser amounts. Denise McGahern's son Jack, who has cerebral palsy, was used in a photo shoot when the initial announcement was made in June. She wants the money to be made available immediately.
Just prior to election, was taken down for that photo shoot, and it all went great. We were all delighted for the money. After a short time, then I did query about the money, and it was disappointment then to hear that the money wasn't given out. So please God, now this time it'll come down and the children will all benefit from this.
And that money was much needed back then, and even, I'm sure, much more needed now. And you as a parent, you know, waiting all this time for that vital funding, I'm sure was difficult too.
Yes, it's been a long road now, especially for children that aren't getting any services regarding physio, speech and language. And stuff like that. Jack does get a wee bit of speech and language now in school. He has a physiotherapist in school only recently, but previous to that, even before that photo shoot, we've had no services at all. So this is great now to hear this announcement.
And that's shocking as well, that you've been left without this funding. I know that the Taoiseach, in response to Deputy Pearce Doherty in the Dáil possibly last week, I think it was saying that, you know, we'll have a meeting about this, but it just seems to be such a long, drawn-out process that central government doesn't seem to realise the situation here on the ground.
Yeah, it's well over 2 years now since that money was meant to be allocated and to Donegal. And like, our services are quite poor here in Donegal regarding physio, speech and language, OT and stuff like that. People do find it hard to get these services, so we really do need these services now for Donegal.
A member of Donegal County Council's Defective Blocks Committee is asking Housing Minister James Brown to attend the meetings. Councillor McBride is also seeking monthly meetings to be attended by officials from the Department of Housing. A meeting of the committee earlier this week, there was a presentation on the issue of downgrades, which remains unresolved. Councillor McBride says issues being raised in the committee are taking far too long to get to department officials and ultimately to the minister himself.
The last day we were in Lifford when Minister James Brown attended, I asked the minister, would he come and be present at those meetings. As far as I'm concerned, there's not enough action happening. We have an excess of 20 different issues on our list that we need dealt with, and we're almost a year into the new council, and really nothing has been dispatched off the list. I asked at the meeting the last day if we would write to the department to see if they would actually meet us once per month instead of once per quarter.
You used an interesting phrase. You said the department is acting as a shock absorber between yourselves and the minister. Now, in terms of ministers attending meetings of Donegal County Council committees, there is a precedent, because I recall when Minister McConnellogue was in cabinet, he regularly attended via Zoom meetings of Donegal County Council's Fisheries and Agriculture Committees.
Yes, and you know, first of all, I would just like to thank Minister James Brown for coming down and meeting us in Donegal County Council. It was good to see, because his predecessor had never come down to meet us. And, you know, it was a kind of an insult to the people and to the councillors and to elected representatives that we were just stonewalled. So I'd like to thank Minister James Brown. I'm hoping that there'll be a new relationship between the Donegal County Councillors, the Defective Block Committee, and the Minister's office. And I think this is actually the prime time now. It's the ideal time for us to make changes and to, you know, to get the issues ironed out.
Donegal County Council is being urged to draw up a database of people living in defective block homes, which could be at risk in the event of a severe storm. Councillor Joy Beer told a meeting of the Council's Defective Blocks Committee this week that now is the time to act on the lessons learned during Storm Éowyn and ensure that the Council has places to put people who are vulnerable, as well as the wherewithal to contact them and let them know their options in a timely fashion. Councillor Beard says now is the time to put the groundwork in place.
We need something in place that people are aware, and that there's a database set up where they're informed via email, via phone call, text message, some kind of system where we make sure that they know that the support is there, and if they need to get out of their homes, where they can go. I want the council to set up that database find what the most efficient way of contacting anybody that's vulnerable so as they can be informed and can decide what to do in the event of a weather warning. And that goes for anyone in a mobile home or in a home that's not structurally safe, because as we know, as time goes on, there's more and more chance of a tragedy happening in one of these homes, and that's my biggest concern.
Is this going to be done on the back of the DCB meeting this week, or will this have to go before full council for a formal resolution?
I would assume it'll go now before full council. In the interim, you know, if someone does have an issue with their home, for example, if they're fearful of their chimney collapsing, as has happened in previous storms, that they contact a contractor to get that done. But as we all know, that costs money. Granted, there is a 5,000 emergency claim as part of this scheme, but sadly, not everybody has that money to pay up front to get a chimney taken down. So I want to find solutions for the most vulnerable in our society and for people that are in these homes riding out these dangerous storms, you know. And I want, as I say, I want action now. There's no point in waiting until it's too late.
It's claimed reducing the voting age here would increase turnout long term. The National Youth Council is urging government to follow Britain's lead, where 16 and 17 year olds will be able to vote in future general elections. It had been trialled in Scotland before today's decision. Leo Gavin of the National Youth Council says it's worked there and would here too.
From what they've shown in Scotland is that it was terribly positive. Having a lot of those young people present and voting was really good. Young people very much, well, do have a lot of the same opinions as the rest of society. They're not some far-off group that have their own crazy opinions. They're the same.
A man has been arrested and his car has been seized in Buncrana after it was observed being driven dangerously last night. The driver failed to stop when signalled to do so. It transpired that the vehicle was not taxed or insured. An arrest was made, the car was seized, and court proceedings will now follow. Lough Swilly lifeboat has come to the assistance of a fishing vessel 11 nautical miles off Fannet Head. At 7:15 last night, the lifeboat was tasked by Malinhead Coast Guard to assist a fishing vessel in difficulty. The vessel had failed its propellers and lost all power. The volunteer lifeboat crew established a tow and held the craft until the three crew on board the casualty vessel eventually cleared their props. They stayed alongside for an additional hour to ensure everything was in order before returning to Buncrana. The time is 12 minutes past 5. We'll be back after the short break. The time is 5:15. Mark's here with the latest sports news.
Thanks, Kitty. Good evening. We'll start with golf and we'll go straight to the Open, which is underway at Portrush. It is day one of the action, and with the details on how the first day has played out, here's Dennis Kerwin.
Conditions are tough and birdies are scarce on the opening day of the Open Championship at Royal Portrush. Rory McIlroy made a shaky start. He missed a 3-foot putt for par on his opening hole, but birdies on 2 and 5 sees Rory back in red figures on 1 under par after 6 holes. That's 3 shots behind the leaders, who all completed excellent 4 under par rounds of 67. They include England's Matt Fitzpatrick, China's Hao Tong Li, and the 2024 amateur champion at Ballyliffin, Denmark's Jakob Skov Olesen. Tournament favourite Scotty Scheffler is on 3 under par after a fine opening 68. 2019 winner at Royal Portrush Shane Lowry had 3 birdies and 2 bogeys in a solid opening round of 70. Padraig Harrington had the honour of hitting the opening tee shot. He began brightly with a birdie but ended up with a 4 over par round of 75, while Tom McKibben signed for a 72. At the Open Championship at Royal Portrush, I'm Dennis Kerwin.
Our golf coverage is with Halpiny Golf, top brands, best prices. In athletics, it's day one of the European Under-23 Championships taking place in Norway. Fintan Dewhurst finished 7th in his heat in the men's 400-metre hurdles first round this morning, which isn't enough to qualify for the next round. The Tyrconnell AC youngster was disappointed with the race when he spoke to Athletics Ireland afterwards.
Like, I'm obviously a little bit upset about that. I just couldn't go as fast as I wanted to. Like, the race was going good up until about hurdle 3, which is still 7 barriers to go. I'll just need to seriously have a recess and come back probably stronger next year.
In soccer, St Patrick's Athletic have just kicked off away to Conference League qualifying opponents Hegelmann. The Saints led 1-0 from the first leg, and Mason Melia has scored early to make it 2-0 on aggregate. Italy await the winners of tonight's European Championship quarterfinal in Zurich. Reigning champions England take on Sweden for a place in the last 4. That match kicks off at 8. Manchester United have reportedly made a third bid to sign Brian Mbeumo from Brentford. The offer is believed to be in the region of €81 million. United have already signed forward Matheus Cunha and
and defender Diogo Leon this summer. Moving on to Gaelic games, Jim McGuinness is well aware of the attacking threat Kerry possess ahead of next Sunday's All-Ireland final at Croke Park. Shawnee O'Shea, Paddy Clifford and David Clifford have all been in flying form for the Kingdom in recent games. The Donegal boss knows the challenge ahead and says David Clifford is possibly the best player in the history of the sport.
He could be the best player that has ever played the game, and you know, time will tell on that. I suppose you can never make that assertion until somebody hangs up the boots, but certainly he's an exceptional football player. He seems to be very driven this year. He's carrying the fight, I would almost say, with a determination and aggressiveness, like an attacking aggressiveness. When he sees a gap, he's just really going for that gap. And some of the scores, even at Croke Park, he's not kicking it over, he's firing it over, you know. And it's almost, he's putting down markers, and I think he's leading from the front, and literally. It's a huge challenge, but obviously there's a number of what you would call marquee forwards in the Kerry team. His brother is obviously in that bracket as well, and Shawnee O'Shea and a lot of many other players that have been incredible servants that as I say know their way around Croke Park. So the challenge on that front is absolutely huge. But at the end of the day, all challenges at this level of the competition are going to be huge. You're playing in the biggest game of the year, and there's going to be nothing easy.
Coming up on The Score after the 7 o'clock news this evening, we'll be hearing more from the Donegal manager Jim McGuinness ahead of that All Ireland final. We'll also speak to Matthew McCall on his selection for the World Boxing Championships. Declan Boyle will cast his eye over the FAI Senior Cup games this weekend for Finn Harps and Derry City. Plus, we'll hear from the victorious Donegal side, which lifted the under 16 ladies All Ireland earlier this week. In cycling, defending champion Tadej Pogacar will reclaim the yellow jersey from Ireland's Ben Healy at the Tour de France. The Slovenian rider was dominant in today's mountainous stage 12, finishing the climb to Hautecombe in 4 hours 21 minutes and 19 seconds. It is Pogacar's 20th stage victory on the Tour de France. And finally, in rugby, 8 Ireland internationals will start for the Lions in the first test against Australia in Brisbane. Fullback Hugo Keenan, wing James Lowe and scrum half Jameson Gibson-Park are named among the backs, while Dan Sheehan, Tadhg Furlong, Joe McCarthy, Jack Conan and Tadhg Byrne will pack down together up front. It equals the record of most Ireland players to start a Lions test that dates back to the third test in South Africa in 1938. That is all your sports news for this evening, but I'll be back with the Score programme coming up between 7 and 8 this evening. Katie.
Thanks, Mark. And now for the weather. Cloudy and wet for the rest of the afternoon with outbreaks of rain, heavy at times. The rain will gradually clear with some brighter sunny spells following. Light showers and clear spells overnight with cloudier conditions developing later on. Low temperatures of 11 to 13 degrees. To conclude this evening's bulletin, tensions flared in the Dáil this afternoon between Donegal Deputy Piers Doherty and Taoiseach Simon Harris over the government's insistence that there won't be one-off cost of living payments in this year's budget. Deputy Doherty told the Dáil that the report today shows almost 300,000 households across the country are in arrears with their electricity bills. The body of a man has been recovered from the water at Ballyness, Fallcarra. At approximately 10 past 3 yesterday afternoon, the Irish Coast Guard was alerted to an incident at the pier. Mulroy Coast Guard was tasked by Marine Rescue Subcentre Mallin to assist in a Garda-led recovery operation of an individual unresponsive in the water, where the man was pronounced deceased at the scene. Police in Derry are currently in attendance at a security alert. A suspicious object was discovered in the Gulf Road area of Killaloe at around 20 past 11 this morning. And a man in his 20s who was arrested in Letterkenny on Tuesday evening has been charged and was in court today. Gardaí have not commented on the circumstances of the arrest. The group Justice Reborn claims the arrest follows an operation it carried out, which led to a man travelling to Donegal in the expectation of meeting a 13-year-old. That's all from the newsroom for now. We'll be back with the headlines at 6 o'clock.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to €75,000 with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Hello, good evening and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Well, one story is dominating the headlines on the agricultural front this week, and that's the initial proposals from the European Commission to shake up the EU budget and farm payments. The overall budget for agriculture could be slashed considerably, and there could be big implications for thousands of farmers in Donegal, especially older farmers. But it's early days yet in the discussions, and the mixed bag on the table will also contain some positive proposals. To find out more, I've been speaking with Pat O'Toole, political correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal.
So in terms of the cap itself, I suppose the big thing is that the ring-fence cap budget has been compromised. So this is the plan for 2028 to 2034, inclusive the seven-year budget cycle and cap cycle. The multi-annual financial framework proposal was announced by Ursula von der Leyen, the Commission President, and she wants cap to be subsumed into a larger cohesion fund. That's the proposal. There'll be $865 billion for the 7 years across the community. What we do know is there's about $300 billion ring-fenced for farmer payments. Now that's a long way back on the $385 billion that was in the last cap for 2021 to 2027. But some of the funds outside the direct payments should still come back into the cap. The last time out, we had about $291 billion in direct payments, so that's up about $8.5 billion, and it was a further $90 billion or so in rural development funding, which went into Pillar 2 of the current cap. So the Pillar 1 and Pillar 2 are to be a thing of the past, and we're going to see significant changes in schemes as well, with implications for older farmers, part-time farmers and larger farmers.
Now, as always, it's a bit of a mixed bag. There was speculation and there were leaked documents and people were talking about a possible 20 to 30% overall cut in the EU funding for agriculture. So naturally enough, there's real concern because the knock-on effects of that would be considerable.
Correct. Well, the 22% cut, that's a slide rule comparing that $386 billion, which was direct payments and rural development funding, comparing it to the $300 billion, which is ring-fenced for payments at the moment within this huge $865 billion super fund. But within schemes, then, I think, you know, some hugely significant moves being made. So the most significant, I think, in Irish context, when we have 40,000 farmers of pensionable age actively farming, we have the average farm age 59, and the proposal is that from 2032, if you're in receipt of state pension, you will not receive farm supports. So farmers would have to choose between what we currently have as the BIS, PRIS eco-schemes, and their pension. They won't be able to collect both. If you're a 59-year-old farmer, as I am, by 2032, that will be a decision you will have to make if you're still farming. That's a really big issue for Irish farming. An awful lot of the 40,000 farmers over 65 are still farming in their own right because they don't have an identified successor. Young people are not coming into farming. We're seeing reductions in the number of sucker cows and yows, despite the fact that we've really good prices at the moment. So there is a huge demographic issue, and unless there are huge resources put in place to encourage another generation into farming, they're effectively taking, you know, a huge income cut from older farmers. There will be a cliff edge where if you continue to farm while drawing the pension, you're farming on your own. And for dry stock farmers, that's just not a paying concern. It's not worth doing. You'd be losing money. That is the most dramatic proposal in the new cap.
Yes, and it certainly would affect probably several thousand farmers here in Donegal. Now, as I mentioned, it is a little bit of a mixed bag. There are some positive things in there, and this is a bit of a first shot across the bow, so to speak, because there's going to be a lot of negotiations. It's going to go on for some time. One of the draft proposals, Pat, was a starter pack for young farmers. What do we know about that?
It's very much an open door for nation states governments to put together a starter pack. So there will be funding there. but it's very hard to know exactly what that will amount to for young farmers. But if they're coming into farms, and this is the thing, it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, if they're coming into farms where there's a significant amount of payments going in at the moment, like they're talking about another farm, another layer of convergence. But there's another catch, I suppose, and that is that part-time farmers are being targeted. And there's proposals that if your off-farm income is significantly higher than your on-farm income, unless you're a micro-farm, they're going to take your payments away. And that would affect the west of Ireland in particular, where as many as two-thirds of farmers have an off-farm income as well, especially dry-stock farmers. They farm morning, evenings, weekends and holidays, and they supplement the farm income with an off-farm income, and often invest in the farm from that off-farm income.
And also there's talk of maybe a 3,000 euro lump sum on the table for small farmers, and also a possibility that farm relief costs could be covered when a farmer is sick.
Yeah, the farm relief costs being covered when the farmer is sick is one of the proposals around sort of forms of assurance and insurance. There's also talk of crop assurance and price insurance, which is very much the American model of farm supports. And the 3,000 euro lump sum is on the table for small farmers. Just to put that in context, there's 9 million farmers in the EU. It was 15 million 10 years ago. We've lost a lot of farmers, mostly smaller farmers, mostly from the former Eastern Bloc. Between 5 and 6 million of the 9 million farmers are farming less than 5 hectares. That's less than 12 and a half acres. And this is very much tailored to them. Take away all the red tape. This is the sort of red tape removal. So those farmers will get a 3,000 euro lump sum that's being proposed, and goodbye. That is a proposal that will work for very small farms all over Europe. We have a lot of small farms, which will be between 10 and 25 hectares. But those very small farms are a much lower proportion of the overall farming fabric of Ireland. We go through these processes and they're always complicated. The last reforms were controversial. I suppose one leg of the stool is the European Parliament. The Commission has put out its proposals. The Parliament will consider them and will provide a reaction. But the third leg is the Council of Ministers of Agriculture of Europe. Ireland will be chairing that council this time next year, and it's expected that that will be the pivotal period for these negotiations. So it could be that Martin Hayden has a key role in building some form of an alliance to mitigate the negative outcomes for Ireland and enhance and increase the positives for Ireland. At the moment, the negatives seem to outweigh the positives. There seems to be proposals for very small farmers, for young farmers. They are less fleshed out than the negative proposals. We just have to wait to see what we end up with.
Was this all coming down the track before decisions were made about increasing the European defence budget, which is going to go up considerably? Is this one of the consequences, or was it going to happen anyway?
There's no doubt that Ursula von der Leyen's single budget proposal is linked to the demands for security and defence. Security and defence is high on the agenda, but as keeps being said by people like Francie Gorman and Dennis Drennan, farm leaders, and by Martin Hayden, the Minister for Agriculture, food security is a central part of security for the European Union. It's not just about tanks and guns and fighter jets. It's also about ensuring that there's a stable supply of food and the inputs for food production within the European Union. And that has tempered the vision of the CAP, I would think.
And that was Pat O'Toole, political editor with the Irish Farmers Journal. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Are you a farmer looking to grow your business? Get up to 75,000 euro with Cultivate, our competitive, unsecured agricultural loan. Visit us today at Inishowen, Ballybuffet and Stranorler, or Lifford Credit Union. Sponsors of today's farming show. Credit unions of Ireland are regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, July 17th. The death has taken place of Dolly McGonagall, Foyle Coaches, Clare Redcastle. Dolly's remains will leave the Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny this evening at 7:30, going to her home. Funeral from there on Sunday at 1:30 for 2:00 funeral mass in St. Columba's Church, Drung, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed live on stcolumbusdrung.net. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. The death has taken place of Edgar Scott, Forest Lodge, Hornhead, Dunfanaghy, County Donegal, and Maher Allen, Craigavon, County Armagh. His remains will repose at Hornhead from 6:00 today for family only, please. The wake will take place tomorrow from 12 noon until 10:00. All are welcome. Funeral service will be held in the Presbyterian Church, Dunfanaghy, on Saturday morning at 10:30. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. Followed by private cremation at Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan at 4:00. Family only, please. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Northwest Addiction Services, St. Union's Terrace, Letterkenny, care of any family member, or James Harkin, funeral directors, Creasa. The death has taken place of Joyce Cook, Rashani, Clonmany. Her remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:15, going to St. Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11:00, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed on Church Services TV. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Carndonagh Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member, or Comiskey funeral directors. House private, please, from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. The death has taken place of Willie Hegarty, 6 Ardlonan Long Lane, Letterkenny, formerly from Ross Ellega, Old Town, Letterkenny. Willie's remains will be reposing at his late residence this evening from 6:00 until 10:00, and tomorrow from 1:00 until 10:00, with rosary both nights at 9:00. Funeral mass on Saturday at 12 noon in St. Mary's Church Convoy, with interment afterwards in the Old Cemetery Convoy. Family time, please, on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the Oncology Ward, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Joseph Joe McGinley, Fóthair, Glencolmkill, reposing at his late residence until 9:00 this evening. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11:00 at St. Columba's Church, Cashel, Glencolmkill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed on mcn.live. Family time, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Paddy MacDonald, Paddy's Corner, Three Trees, Quigley's Point. Paddy's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:30 for 11:00 funeral mass in Sacred Heart Church, Muff, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member, or Eamon McLaughlin, funeral director. And the death has occurred of Damien O'Brien, Huntington Beach, California, formerly of Stony Batter, Killigordon. Damien is reposing at the home of his parents, Patricia and Bernard O'Brien, in Stony Batter, Killigordon, today until rosary at 9:00. Damien's Requiem Mass will be held at 12 noon tomorrow in St. Patrick's Church, Killigordon, with burial afterwards in Kilwara Cemetery, Glenfinn. The burial is strictly private, please, for the O'Brien and the O'Connor families. A shuttle bus will operate from Lafferty's Yard to the wakehouse. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.